The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It's a great, great pleasure to welcome to our studio, right slap bang in the middle of downtown Austin, Niall Swan. He is an Irish Democrat based in this city. Niall, it is great to talk to you. Thanks
nice
a million for coming in. So, I mean, you are a Drumcondra man originally.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
In the States, 30 years now?
30 years this summer, actually, yeah.
Came to watch Ray Houghton score that goal in the Giant Stadium and you never left.
Yeah, I actually missed that one. I came for the second and third game. Yeah.
So you were here for USA 94, but not the moment we all remember from USA 94.
I'd argue it was a better moment in Dublin at that time. Not a car on the streets, everybody out celebrating afterwards.
So, yeah, it was a great time. So listen, you've been here, so God, that's 30 years ago, exactly 30 years ago this year. You've been in Austin how long?
9 years this summer, actually.
Yeah, what brought you to Austin? What was the attraction?
So my wife has been looking to avoid winters for most of her life. So that was one of the reasons. And as North American cities go, it's one of the few last great friendly cities. People are still very cordial. It did remind me a bit of home a little. And sometimes I think to myself, is Austin friendlier than Dublin? And then I go home and I'm like, nah, Dublin's still got a little more. But for me, it was that. And also just the climate was fantastic. Property market was probably a factor as well. You could probably pay at least 40% less at that time by moving to Austin. So.
How cold does it get in the winter here?
Yeah, not cold at all. You know, I'm a Fahrenheit guy these days, so I'll tell you.
God.
Yeah, sorry about
means
that.
Means nothing to me. All Greek.
But
go on anyway.
Shorts, break it down. Shorts and T-shirts till December, maybe a sweater in January and February. You might get a cold snap. We call winter for a week. It snowed 2 years ago. The whole state shut down because it's not used to it. But generally, no more winters, yeah.
Okay, that's better than Fahrenheit. I think.
T-shirt
and shorts weather almost all of the time. So listen, in 2016, when you were living here in Austin, you were in Austin by then.
Yeah.
Of course, Donald Trump elected president. He is hoping to be elected president again in the upcoming election. And that prompted you to get involved more directly with the Democrats. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, as an immigrant, and my wife's family are of immigrant stock as well, I was just really horrified by the rhetoric that was coming out and just vilifying people. And I was a political science grad from UCD, did my master's there. And to me, it was the most oldest trick in the book, which is to demonize a group to try and get elected. And that's what I felt was happening. So I just wanted to do that. Also, my wife's family are of Filipino heritage. So for me, my kids were going to have a different experience. So I wanted to make sure that the multicultural America that I signed up for was something that my kids would have as well.
So to what extent then is the upcoming election a reheat and repeat of arguments made in 2016 and in 2020? Are there new issues this time? Give us a sense of what's kind of percolating.
Yeah. More of 2020 than 2016, I'd say. I think the electorate as a whole has a little bit of amnesia, you know, because people generally want to focus on their day-to-day basis, right? And a lot of the Trump stuff and Biden stuff is already baked in. In 2020, Biden was seen as different to what he is now. You've had 4 years of people telling you that he's old and incapable. Mm. And, you know, that's how propaganda works, right? You repeat something over and over again and people will tend to believe it. So I think this time, as things stand right now, it's neck and neck with Trump maybe having an edge because he probably is going to take Georgia and North Carolina, you would think, in the Electoral College vote. And that sets him up to have a great advantage for the rest of the states.
Yeah, it's, you know, and you'll know this, that sometimes we think about it as kind of, you know, one big kind of conglomerate kind of all voting together. And of course, it's kind of 50 individual elections are what is happening. And I was watching the local news, Fox 7 News or something last night at 9 o'clock. And they were talking about Joe Biden, I think, was in Pennsylvania yesterday, kind of touring the state. So this is kind of one of these blue walled states that, you know, it's very important for him to keep, or certainly other states in that part of the world. I am struck, though. I mean, whatever about the argument that there's an element of propaganda and you repeat it enough that people believe it, I mean, he is pushing on, isn't he?
He is, you know, and, you know, my own perspective will be biased, but if you look at how things are going right now, things can always be better, right? But it's being managed pretty well when you consider all the variables. Unemployment is down at historical lows. The inflation thing is still being battled with, but it's got under control. immigration is a problem, but, you know, we can have a separate conversation on that, but that can be addressed. If you are concerned about his age, really, you have to look at how the country is going right now and say, okay, is it a problem or is it not? So I would argue that you have another comparison to make, which is who's the team of people? How do you manage those people, right? Yeah. I would argue too, you haven't had books coming out about how awful Biden is from the people who work for him. You look at Trump, and it's not a partisan issue, it's a management issue. It's everybody who works for Trump, well, not everybody, but the vast majority come out with these tell-all books about unbelievable stories of turnover. And you wouldn't have someone like this running a company effectively, never mind the world's biggest democracy.
Yeah, John Bolton, who spent a bit of time in the Trump administration, obviously much more involved in previous Republican administrations. I was watching him being interviewed the other day, and he said he's going to write down Dick Cheney's name when he goes in to vote. So, you know, this is, or not Dick Cheney, he's going to vote Mike Pence's name. He's going to write down Mike Pence's name when he goes in to vote. So, I mean, this is a sense of how people feel after they've worked with him. But, you know, the way you describe it, it strikes me that some of the things that people were hopeful of in terms of a Biden presidency are the things that they're kind of almost critical of now. And there was a sense, what was the Warren G. Harding, a return to normalcy, that everything would be kind of calmer, everything would be more normal. And that's what he kind of sold, this idea that the chaos would end. And now people are kind of critical that there's not a bit more, not chaos necessarily, but kind of vim and vigor and excitement and things happening.
Right, right. You know, after the 2009 crash, there was this, a movement to make banking boring again, right? Because that's when life was better, when yes. everything was stable. So I think there's a similar vein here of let's make politics boring again. Because I got to tell you, as someone who has seen grassroots politics, people are just excessively outraged. And I think there's a broader problem in democracy that we're only really addressing right now, is that people believe what's presented in front of them. They don't always question it, right? So if you see something that confirms your biases or confirms your views, chances are it's not entirely true. And I think as a country, in the US at least, people tend to believe what's on their screens, what's on their phones a lot more than we would at home. Why? Because the vast majority of people live in bubbles. They live in the suburbs, they drive their cars, and they don't really come across people that they disagree with on a regular basis. And I'm not sure if you, but I'm sure you believe this, but the best way to know your opinions is the road testament. Talk them out with people.
Yeah.
And for example, the schools are the last place in America for me where everybody comes together, where your kids come together and you have to get along. And even now there's a movement for, you know, school choice and give people vouchers that they don't have to go to public school anymore, and they can use that money to go to private school. And private school's fine, but that kind of defunds the schools and suddenly you don't have anywhere where everybody comes together.
So. Yeah, there is, because there's a sense from looking from afar that it is a nation divided, and much more so than ever. Is that true?
So you're asking an immigrant here, right? Yeah. If you were to ask me, I'd say we have two different sets of Americans that are arguing over very little, right?
Yeah.
And I think they have so much more in common than they realize.
That they realize.
And there's an outrage machine behind it telling you,
yeah.
hey, you know, let's presume the worst of y'all over there, and you should presume the worst of this person. But if you have an in-person conversation with someone you disagree with, you will find you have very little to disagree with.
Okay.
So in my experience.
So maybe the division is there to a degree because perception is reality, but the perception is not maybe based on the fact.
Yeah, yeah. And forgive me for going down the rabbit hole too much, but you got to understand the system is based on political consultants. And political consultants want you to vote and donate. And the two best ways to vote and donate are outrage, anger, you know, presume the worst of other people. And that's not really the reality, I guess.
But how do you solve that problem? You know what I mean? How do you bring people together? Because, you know, I always kind of roll my eyes when people say, you know, if you're presented with kind of facts or a claim about the opposition, you need to investigate it and look for the source.
Right.
People don't do that. People are too busy. As you say, they're driving their cars, they're dropping kids to school, they've got parent-teacher meetings, whatever it is. This idea that we're all going to start like looking for sources when kind of Niall says something on the radio is nonsense.
100%. And I think it has to be integrated into your daily life, I guess, you know. And that's why having kids in similar schools is very important. Funnily enough, I think things like food are very important, you know. So having, so in the community I lived, people want to do like a food festival, right? So it brings people together from different cultures where you get to chat and you get to understand different foods. And there's no way you're going to disagree over foods, really, you know, unless, you know, it's the wrong kind of pizza or something.
Well, actually, speaking of food,
Pineapple, we
were in Terry Black's in the barbecue yesterday, myself and Jess, and my God, we had some mountain of food. So, I mean, you know, you said right at the outset about maybe your expectation in terms of the election or what the scores and the doors are now.
Yeah.
I mean, we know what your hope is. You're a member of the Democratic Party, so we know you hope Biden will get reelected. I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
I think it's, I really think it's a coin flip. And there's a couple of variables that are on the table. One is Trump's legal fortunes, right? So we'll see what happens with those. If he is found guilty in some of these trials, polls indicate that that's a game changer for a lot of Americans that are on the fence. The other game changer is that there are referenda on the abortion issue going on the ballot in Florida, for example, which will be very good, you know, for Democratic turnout. And it's very hard to vote in favor of the right to choose and then vote for the guy who took away the right to choose. So that will be interesting. That's also going to be on other swing states like Arizona and Nevada, most likely. So that's going to be a big plus for Democrats, I would say. So those will be two of the variables that will be big. But I would be surprised if Biden keeps North Carolina and Georgia, just to get back to the beginning of our conversation. He's also losing a lot of African-American vote, a lot of the Hispanic-American vote, and a lot of the young American vote. And again, I think as we get closer to the decision and if Donald Trump keeps being Donald Trump, people probably will reflect a little more on the choice ahead of them.
All right. Well, listen, plenty more coverage on this show and elsewhere between now and November. Still quite a ways away. Niall, listen, thanks a million for coming into us. It's been a real pleasure chatting to you. Niall Swan, who is a member of the Irish Democratic Party here in Austin, Texas, Drumcondraman originally.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.